Dear Heavenly Father, on this Good Friday, we give you thanks for your Son and all that he did for us. I ask you, Lord, that you would accompany us as we take these steps, that we might be joined by your Holy Spirit and all those who desire to be here but can't, in prayer, as we pray not only for ourselves and our families, but for our city and our nation and our church. I ask you, Lord, to be with us today. Keep us safe. Keep us healthy. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay. This year, I'm going to take as our theme the seven words of Jesus. This is the traditional name for the statements Jesus makes on the cross. I'm not going to talk explicitly about the nature of crucifixion. There's a lot of information out there, and I don't know nearly enough about it to be able to share it all with you. Suffice it to say, in the process of crucifixion, the Romans knew what they were doing. This had been developed over a long period of time. And one of the points of crucifixion is you nail the person through the soft spot right here. And there's a bundle of nerves that when the person pulls themselves up to breathe or to exhale, it is excruciating. It's incredibly painful. So, most crucified people would simply suffocate over the course of several days. Jesus, instead, takes seven opportunities to lift his entire body weight so that he could breathe and speak to the collective community. These are the seven words of Jesus. Now, they're words in the same fashion that the Ten Commandments are the ten words. It's not a word, but it's an idea. It's a whole phrase. The first is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is spoken by Jesus about the crowds, the Pharisees, and specifically the Roman soldiers. However, if we are to theologically believe what is often said by the church fathers, then it wasn't merely the Romans who nailed Jesus to the cross, but it was us as well. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do, applies to us. And I want us to look at this phrase from both perspectives. Namely, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Who's them? Them is me. That I am in need of forgiveness because I have participated in the death, suffering, rising, and pain of Jesus. But also that this is a thing to be emulated, meaning these are not just words that Jesus said to those people all those years ago and by extension to you now, but these are words that you should say to the people in your life who hurt you. Of course, Christians, that is a word that stands, that means little Christ. Meaning we're not just supposed to be, you know, styled after Jesus or themed after Jesus, but instead that we are trying to be Jesus to the people around us. And sometimes the people around you are like Mary Magdalene, John. They are the allies who maybe can't do anything. Mary and John could do anything, right? But they were there to support Jesus. And sometimes the people around you do a wonderful imitation of the Pharisees. And they are quite literally a thorn in your side. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. A lot has been made over the fact that a single drop of the Messiah's blood would have been enough to save us. And the greatest tragedy that we could have ever befallen any one of us, or all of us together, is nothing compared to the single indecency against the God-man. And yet, you have the whole of the crucifixion. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Jesus Christ could have peeled back the veil and revealed his divinity. He could have made it so the Romans, the Pharisees and Sadducees, the crowds and the apostles saw his divinity. But he chose not to do that. And instead, in great humility, succumbed to the painful death of the cross. Father, into your hand. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Most of us are familiar with that Jesus died surrounded by two thieves. I've always been fascinated by this thing that happens right before the Last Supper. James and John come to Jesus and through their mother ask, Lord, can we sit at your right and your left? And Jesus says to them, no, it's for who it's been reserved. Now there's two ways to interpret that. The right and the left, when you come into your kingdom, some have seen that as who sits in the right and left of Jesus at the Last Supper. This would be John and Judas. Some see it as the two thieves. That they were the ones besides Jesus. So they had not been prepared for the apostles, but they would die the same death. Scripture records that at 9 in the morning, Jesus was crucified. Meaning, temporally, he would already have been on the cross for an hour before we even got started this morning. And he would be there for a full 6 hours until 3 in the afternoon, about the time we'll get finished. This was not a long occurrence. And in fact, the way of the cross was probably significantly shorter than his time crucified. He was crucified with two other criminals, or two real criminals, and he was the falsely accused criminal in the middle. And it says in two different gospels that at the beginning of the day, Jesus was crucified with two thieves, and they ridiculed him and reviled him just like the crowds. I believe it's John's gospel that reports a different story. And I'm here to make the case that it's not actually two different tellings of the same story. It's telling of the same story at two different times during the day. The one thief says to Jesus, you're the Messiah, save yourself and save us. And the other says to him, have you no fear of God? We were condemned justly, and our sentence corresponds to our crimes. That's a hell of a statement. I'm being crucified, and I deserved it. Let your mind wander on what that would have required, right? And Jesus, and then he turns to the moron on the other side and says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus gives the first promise of salvation. Today, you will be with me in paradise. I've started using this gospel for all my funeral homilies. I would love to use the one where Jesus says, my good and faithful servant, come and rejoice in your master's joy. Unfortunately, that's not one of the options for the funeral homily, so I talk about the crucifixion of Jesus every funeral. Today, you will be with me in paradise. This man is undeserving. Now, again, all of us started undeserving. None of us is deserving of the sacrifice of Jesus for sure. Or even none of us is deserving of any of the help that Jesus gives us. But this man in particular, because he started the day ridiculing Jesus. He was an enemy. He began as an enemy. And then I can only imagine watching Jesus suffer for 6 hours. Then at the end of that, he goes, you know what? I want some or all of whatever he has. So now I believe. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Ah, brother, at the very 11th hour, this is it. There is no more time. Today, you will be with me in paradise. He has a major conversion. Starts to follow Jesus. Now, his trip through Christianity was short-lived. but no less important or intense. You remember, that guy had his legs broken so that he might suffocate more efficiently and be taken down before, you know, sundown. It wasn't all rainbows and butterflies after he started to follow Jesus. But today you will be with me in paradise. That's the plan, right? That's the thing we all want. Today you will be with me in paradise. Look, Christianity may not all be about avoiding hell and going to heaven, but it's a lot of what it's about. I once heard a commentator talk about how, look, if food's not about flavor, I don't know what it's all about. I'm going, okay, well, it's a little bit about nutrition, right? If Christianity is not about heaven, it may not be all about heaven, but it's a lot about heaven. Today you will be with me in paradise. I don't think there's a person in this room, much less on this planet, that would turn down the offer of those words. Nah, I don't want to go to heaven. Now, of course, heaven is life with God. Heaven is entry into the life with God. We see God face to face. So in that way, Christianity can be all about heaven, as long as we understand that it is entering into the family of God in the life of heaven. Not just going to this, you know, third party, celebration station in the sky where everything is wonderful and the soda machine never runs out and everything is just awesome for all eternity. No. It'll be great, but not great to that degree, not at that level. It'll be something wholly entire, something tremendous, something so much more magnificent than everything that we see and experience here and now, that it will, everything that we've ever enjoyed in this life will seem pale and empty and fruitless compared to the joy of heaven. And this Jesus promises to the good thief. You know, we say that. This was not a good dude. He admitted, we're being executed by the state and we deserve to have done this. He was a bad dude. And yet Jesus turns to him and says, today you will be with me in paradise. There is no greater indication that heaven is not blocked off for anybody who would follow Jesus. Heaven is not blocked off for anybody who would submit to the love of Christ and the cross. If this man can get into heaven, it's not only simple, it is easy and doable for us. It is very possible for us. If the guy on the cross next to Jesus can be promised paradise, how much more so us? Please open your Hike for Christ book. We're on the page that says opening and has Psalm 115 on it. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name give the glory because of your mercy and faithfulness. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk. They produce no sound from their throats. The house of Israel trusts in the Lord, who is their help and their shield. The house of Aaron trust in the Lord, who is their help and their shield. Those who fear the Lord trust in the Lord, who is their help and their shield. May the Lord increase your number, yours and your descendants. May you be blessed by the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. I love the Lord, who listened to my voice in my supplication, who turned an ear to me on the day I called. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, O God, our God is merciful. The Lord protects the simple. I was helpless, but he saved me. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I kept faith, even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all men are liars. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all the peoples. Dear in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his devoted. While they were eating, Jesus took bread and said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. Take and eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood, the blood of the covenant, which will be shed on behalf of many, for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, from now on, I shall not drink it, this fruit of the vine, until the day when I drink it with you new in the kingdom of my Father. Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. In danger, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is with me. Better to take refuge in the Lord than to put one's trust in mortals. Better to take refuge in the Lord than to put one's trust in princes. They surrounded me like bees. They burned up like fire among thorns. In the Lord's name I cut them off. I was hard pressed in falling, but the Lord came to my help. I shall not die, but live, and declare the deeds of the Lord. The Lord chastised me harshly, but did not hand me over to death. I thank you, for you have answered me. You have been my Savior. Lord, grant salvation. Lord, grant good fortune. You are my God, I give you thanks. My God, I offer you praise. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you.
Because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus called Messiah?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." But he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" They only shouted the louder, "Let him be crucified." Then he released Barabbas to them. But after he had Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Together. Lord Jesus, you were condemned to death because fear of what other people may think. So too, throughout history, the innocent have always been maltreated, condemned, and killed. Our reputation for justice. Strengthen the quiet voice in our hearts, your own voice in our lives. Look at me as you look at Peter after his denial.
At the crosser station keeping stood the mournful mother weeping, close to Jesus to the last.
Second station, Jesus carries his cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you. Then the soldiers and the governor took Jesus inside the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped off his clothes and threw his scarlet military cloak about him. Weaving a crown of thorns, they placed it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and took the reed and kept striking him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him off to crucify him. Lord Jesus, you are not subjected to yourself, mockery of his own. Help us not to ally ourselves with those who broke down and we even suffer. Help us to acknowledge you in peace, in your love and helpless. May we never lose heart when faced with the contempt of this world, with the ridicule. Through her heart his sorrow sharing, all his bitter anguish bearing. Now at length the sword is back. The third station, Jesus falls the first time. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you. Yet it was our pain that he bore, our suffering he endured. We thought of him as stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our sins. and crushed for our iniquity. He bore the punishment that made us whole. By his wounds we were healed. We had gone astray like sheep, all following our own way. But the Lord laid upon him the guilt of us all. Lord Jesus,
sad and sore distressed, was that mother highly blessed of the soul begotten.